Hello and welcome. Glory to God, for God is good and He loves each and every one of you. And we are so glad you are here and seeing how He is going to transform your life and build your life upon His Word, which is alive and powerful, which is able to bring you out of darkness, bring you into a better life, bring you into a life that you cannot have imagined. Only God can orchestrate that, and He knows the best plan for you, and He loves you. So, my name is Pastor Josh Pan, and thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video. Do me a favor, throw that thumbs up, like button, let me know you're here, type Jesus forever, for He is good, and let's get ready for this daily devotion. Amen. And so, today's devotions are on being free of pride and anxiety. So I don't want to welcome you, Mads, Lux, Maya, Nicholas, Nocham, Finn. Yes, I'm so glad you guys are here, for God is going to build you guys up. And everyone else who comes, praise the Lord. We're reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Amen. So, to the elders among you, I appeal as fellow elders. Now, you're going to want to listen to the end, because we know that the Word of God can actually change your life, can actually build you up, can actually lead you to a better place. Before I start reading, I want to encourage you guys to put your listening ears on. Let the Word of God transform you. Amen. So, let's read this together. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal you as fellow elder, as a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording over it those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He might lift you up, and He may lift you up in due time, and cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Amen. So, Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your love, for Your mercy. We thank You that You lead us in Your ways, and that You teach us how to love as You loved, how to lead as You lead, how to walk as You walk. Father God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be in this live stream as we listen to You, as we long to know You more, and as we grow as a community together. Lord, I thank You for all that You've done for us. We don't take it for granted. This is a time of worship. This is a time of prayer. This is a time of devotion. So, Lord, let this be honoring You and glorifying You and lift and let others hear Your words and be encouraged as well. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Amen. So, this is talking about being free of pride and anxiety. And you see, pride actually leads to downfall. Pride actually stops you from moving forward in your life, from actually living your life to the fullest. Pride actually is something that is a trap. And as you know, this month is a month of pride. It's Pride Month. And Pride Month means, oh yeah, be proud of who you are. Be proud of your identity. Be proud of whatever you make yourself to be. Pride. Be boastful. Be haughty. But God does not want that. He says in this scripture that we should be humble, live a life of humility, and that we should accept Him as our Lord and Savior, because He is higher than we are. He's more powerful than we are. He's richer than we are. He's smarter, wiser than we are. If he is bigger than we are, then why don't we submit to his will? Why don't we acknowledge that we need him as our Lord and Savior? So God is saying, I want to give you freedom from your pride and anxiety. I want to give you freedom from those things that's actually holding you down so that you can live a life that is humble, that is righteous, that is worth living. Amen. And so let's look into this reflection. There's going to be one reflection today, and you're going to want to listen very carefully to this, because this reflection, if it helps me, then it also helps you. So the reflection is humble leaders. Humble leaders. Humility, ladies and gentlemen, are not natural. It's not the natural way of life. Naturally, we want to feel proud. We want to feel great. We want to lift ourselves up high. We want to be respected. Naturally, humility is not natural. And if we are honest, all of us will admit that pride is something that we struggled with at times, whether it's in our relationship, in work, in school, in family. But in church, the elders, the leaders, they are charged with the responsibility of caring for God's flock, for God's people, for God's family, church, and must demonstrate humility in their personal lives and among with those whom they are entrusted. And this humility is seen in a willing service, financial integrity, not lying, not cheating, in serving not for themselves, but for God. Not to make them look better, but to make God look better. And also service in the quality of their relationship with others. And you see, when you live a life of humility, you will see that your life will actually be exponentially better than living a life of pride. When you live a life of humility, you'll see your relationships become closer and closer and stronger with other people who believe in the name of Jesus, who believe in Jesus Christ. And you'll see your life being more worth living. Humility actually opens you up to learning, to hearing, to growing. But pride is saying, I got everything together. I don't need anything else. But we always absolutely need our Lord as Savior. And so that takes humility to accept the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this call for humility is not just for church leaders alone, but for all people. Scripture commands all of us to clothe ourselves with humility. Put differently, humility should be evident in your interactions with one another. And it's not easy, especially when dealing with pressures from within or without the church. But as you cast your anxieties on the Lord and accept his direction, you can be sure that in due time, God will lift you up. God will lift you up. Amen. And so, during times of loss, of pain, of suffering, that really does actually humble us and show how powerless we are and how much we need God in our life. That really shows how broken this world is. And so you're here saying, you know, I need your help. I need God's help. I cannot live my life alone. And that's why you are sharing with brothers and sisters, and you share with me about the things that are hurting you, that's bringing you down, the things that are unexpected that's happening, whether it's financial, relational, mental, spiritual, physical, all these things God understands. And we bring it and we lift it all up to God because He is willing to carry our burdens. He says, cast your cares, cast your burdens upon me. Take up your cross and follow me. For I will help you. I will give you rest. I will give you peace and give you joy. But until you cast out your ego, your pride, out the door, you're not going to be able to experience the fullness of Christ in your life. And that's why when we are here together, we speak of the name of Jesus constantly, over and over. Because we're here knowing that Jesus is the answer to your prayers. Jesus is the answer to lift you up higher, to bring you out of the darkness. And so let's deep dive into this passage together, because we know the Word of God. It is so powerful, and it can help you where you are. No matter where you are, it's going to help you. So in this passage of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, we're going to look at 1 to 4 first. And this whole passage is talking about how the church, how communities of believers should function under suffering, that they should be faithful. And this first part is actually the duties of elders or ministers in verse 1 to 4. And Peter, he stresses his right to be heard. He is an elder. He is a witness of Jesus' death, and he is a partaker of Jesus' glory. He says, the elders, therefore I encourage the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ. He saw Jesus die on the cross. He saw Jesus live his life teaching the word of God, teaching that the kingdom is near, teaching the life of repentance. He saw Jesus heal the blind, heal the lame, heal the people who are demon-possessed, heal the woman who was bleeding profusely. He saw Jesus die on that cross, raised from the dead, and ascend to heaven, and give his promised Holy Spirit to each one of us. And he's a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. So Peter, he's telling that he's qualified to share this, and we are also qualified to share this as well, because we are partakers of God's glory as we submit to our Lord Jesus Christ. As we submit to Him and we follow after Him in all the days of our life. And so this charge is to the elders, to the leaders, and you are also called to be leaders as well. You may not be an elder. I'm not an elder. But I'm a leader. You are a leader too. You're called to be leaders. And as leaders, your charge is to shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock of God. To be willingly shepherd them. Not by force. Not to manipulate them. Not to control them. But to love them and serve them. Readily to serve them. Not for your own gain, but to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to honor Him, glorify Him. So, he says to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight over them, protecting them, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lust or self-desires, but of ready mind. So, be ready to serve others. Be ready and willing to bring God's glory, God's love to others. And live as an example of God, not dominating. And so, in my life, I don't think I'm a very dominating individual. I don't command people to do this and that. I live a life of service, a life to build people up, a life to encourage them, a life to allow them to see the love of Christ and to feel accepted and welcomed into the community of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you guys are all welcomed. You guys are all loved. You guys are all cared for. And we praise God that He allowed people with like-mindedness to be attracted to this group because of God's faithfulness, because of Jesus' personality, which is reflected through me, because I'm an ambassador of Jesus. And you too are also living sacrifices and living, not sacrifices, but holy vessels of God. Oh, so being examples to the flock, to Jesus, people, to the believers, that is what you are called to do. Amen. And the result, the reward, for God is a rewarder. You don't want to hear the reward that and the promises that comes from our God Almighty. What is the result? It's the crown of glory, where the chief shepherd shall appear, which is the chief shepherd is our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall appear. We are all. I'm a shepherd for you. I'm here to guide you, protect the word of God, and deliver it to you. And in the end, you shall receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. That will never fade away. That means it's eternal. That crown of glory, it's what you will receive in heaven, and then you'll wear it because you are royalty. You are part of the kingdom of God. You run the office of God too when you're in heaven. And as we build this heavenly kingdom on earth, we carry ourselves as royalty. Type, I am royalty. I am royalty. That's a declaration that you are part of God's kingdom. You see, if you're a child of God, you're sons and daughters of God. And God, He's your Heavenly Father. And He is the King of kings, Lord of lords. And so, if He's the King, then you're His child. Then you are royalty. Then you're part of the royal priesthood. You're part of this royal palace. Royalty. You are royalty. That means you're prince and princesses, kings and queens. Amen. So you are royalty. Don't forget that. Don't let the world say you are useless. Don't let the world say you're a peasant. Don't let the world say that you have no worth. For you are a child of the God Almighty, El Shaddai. The God who provides all of our needs. So you are royalty. And that's so good to know your identity in Christ. It's not in the world. It's in Christ. And when it's rooted in Christ, then it's rooted upon His truth. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, let's read into this. In this critical passage, it's a personal message from Peter to the leaders and ministers of the church. Never is the church in need for leadership any more than when it is being attacked and persecuted. And that is exactly what's happening. And it's exactly what's happening for generations, even before United States of America. And it's going to happen in the future as well. So you are called to be leaders. Because when you become a leader, you become someone that people come to for breakthrough. Someone who people rely on to deliver the word of God. When you become a leader, you're a shepherd that protects the flock. And at such times, ministers must stand forth and be vigilant, be alert more than ever. And you see Paul and Peter. Peter, he stresses his right to be heard. The charge is to be the shepherd of the flock of God, you. And then he tells you, you see, you're not doing this in vain. You're not doing this out of your own glory. You're doing this for God's glory. And in the end, you're going to be partakers of the glory and receive the crown of glory, for you are also royalty. So Peter, he shared that he is an apostle, a disciple of Jesus. He followed after Jesus. Even though he was not perfect, even though he was a sinner, but he repented and he became an even stronger leader. And so Peter, he calls you guys to come into a relationship with our Lord Jesus. So, one thing you can learn, guys. What can you learn from this lesson? Listen carefully. Think about the fact, this fact for a moment, that you hold the very same calling and office that Peter, the great apostle, did. The calling of being an elder or leader of God's flock. Just think, these words are a special message for you from Peter himself. Peter, he himself was an eyewitness to the suffering of Christ, and he actually saw the ridicule, the mockery, the cursing of Christ, the questioning and doubting of Christ, the unbelief and rejection of Christ. Peter saw the denial and rebellion against the claims of Christ. He saw the sufferings of Christ at the Garden of Gethsemane, the beatings and abuse of Christ as he bore his trials, and the mockery and death of Christ upon the cross. How he died on the cross, deemed as a criminal, when he did nothing wrong, when he lived a perfect and sinless life. Yet, in human eyes, he was a sin. He was imperfect. He was a criminal. But no, in God's eyes, he is perfect. And so that's why we absolutely must recognize that Jesus went through almost everything that you went through. And even worse, he died the death that you were supposed to die, so that you don't have to die. And that death actually allows you to have a path to eternal relationship with God. You see, Jesus came from heaven to earth so that you can go from earth to heaven. He came from God, being divine, to being human, so that you can go from human to being in his eternal presence. And so, he wants an intimate relationship with you. And he says that he loves you, even though you're imperfect, but he has a perfect plan for each one of you. And Peter knew exactly the sufferings of Christ, how real it was, how painful it was, how Jesus really did suffer for you. He knew that man could now be saved, that you can be saved by the sufferings of the cross if you believe and endure to the very end in following our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, you as leaders, you must listen and hear the exhortations, the encouragement of Peter. You see, Peter, he was to be a partaker of Jesus' glory. Peter witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus Christ at the Garden of Gethsemane when Elijah, when Moses was there. He had seen and experienced little taste of that glory which was to come. And that little glory, he saw it was so great, so awesome. And while writing this in his heart, it must have been beating faster and faster as he was recalling and remembering the promises of God's return, of Jesus' return from the heavens with his angels, with the trumpets blowing, and then all believers who are dead and alive will be united with him, and will be in his glory. And the Lord gave this promise often, always sharing with his followers that they would share in the glory and the resurrection of life eternal with him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We know that the Bible is alive and well, and that the Bible is the thing that changes our hearts for the better, that builds our life, and lets you be able to experience more of Jesus Christ. So you as leaders, you are called to oversee, overlook, and watch over the flock, not by force. Doesn't mean that a person has to feel the constraint of God and his love in the ministry. Because God actually touches you in different ways. You must actually walk in his ways. Okay, let's jump into the Word of God. Let the Word of God be speak, because I cannot speak on my own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, it says, "For I preach the gospel. I preach the good news, and I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Wow, this is Paul speaking and declaring that if he does not preach the gospel, woe is me. What does woe mean? Woe. Define woe. It sounds like pity. It sounds grief, misery, regret, misfortune, wretchedness. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. So, Paul is saying, necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. So we preach the word of God. We preach the gospel because we know that so many people are hurting in their life. So many people need to know the truth about Jesus Christ and need to accept him as their Lord and Savior, because he saves us from eternal separation from God. After our life on earth, we will either go to heaven or we will go to hell. We will either be in his eternal presence or eternal separation from God. And that's why we absolutely must preach his word and say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow after you." Thank you. Good morning, Boni. And so, it's so crucial. I hope that I can gain this mindset, as just like Paul. Hello, Sarah. He says, if I do not preach the gospel, wow, then pity, then misery and grief. I must speak it each and every day. And so glory to God that I'm able to share the gospel with each one of you guys. Woe. It's not W-H-O-U. It's W-O-E. Yeah. So we know that good question. Good question. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. It is, "For the love of Christ constrains us. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died." And this is the good news, that because he died for us, now we don't have to die. Because he died for us, that death that we deserve, which is eternal separation from God, that is death. That is true death. We were once dead in our transgression, in our sin, but now we're made alive in Christ. We're made alive in Christ. Amen. So therefore, all died because of one man, because of what Jesus had done. And so, it says the love of Christ controls us. Do you like being controlled? A lot of people don't like being controlled. Not in this world. We're prideful. Humans are prideful beings. But God calls us to humble ourselves, to lay down our pride, and to follow after Him. And then let the love of Christ be the one that drives you. Let Him be the captain of your life. Get on His ship, for He is going somewhere. He's going to the promised land. He's going to heaven. He's driving the boat to the promised land, to somewhere that is even better. Get on His airplane, for He's going. He's flying somewhere. He's the pilot. He's the captain. He's the one driving the ship. And He's guiding us towards the one right direction. We got to follow in Jesus' name. Follow Him. Follow in His ways. Follow in His words. For it's the best way that you can live. Not only that, He wants to be your friend. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be the one that gives you that love, that joy, that peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control in your life. Let His ways be your ways. Let His plans be your plans. Let His thoughts be your thoughts. And say, not my will, but yours be done. That is the ultimate humbling statement that you can say. May He increase and I decrease. May His will be done, not mine own. Amen. The person should not be forced or concurred to another minister or leader, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. We as leaders should be willing to feed the flock of God. I'm feeding you guys. The Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful. The Word of God is sweet like honey. The Word of God is rich like gold and silver. The Word of God is something that we need. And that's why we speak of it each and every day. And so I'm feeding you guys the Word. And it's alive and powerful. And that's why you're here. And we praise God for that. And I am called to feed you guys. But a lot of people refuse to do so. But why? Because a lot of people, and you might feel this way, but don't worry, it can change. Because I felt this way once before. Because a lot of people felt unworthy, inadequate. You see, growing up, I've always been made fun of my speech, especially since I'm hearing impaired with severe hearing loss. Even today, people are still saying so. But by the grace of God, He's given me the ability to speak, to communicate with clarity, with His love, with His patience, that will reach so many people. In my weaknesses, God is made perfect. And in your weaknesses, God is made perfect. You may feel unworthy, but that's yourself saying that. That's the world saying that. But in reality, God says, you are worthy. You are my prized possessions. I have chosen you. You may feel inadequate, but God says, don't you worry. I will equip you with everything that you need in your life to continue forward, to continue my mission. I will give you the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that lived in Jesus. I give to you. He's your friend. He's your guide. And He will tell you and teach you from the Word of God and equip you. Some felt that it would cost them too much. That is too costly. They got to give up too many things. Got to give up maybe their job. Got to give up their old ways, which satisfied them. Got to give up their own temporary satisfaction. They felt it cost too much. But what's the cost of you going to heaven. There is a cost. Even though it was freely given to you, there was a cost for that salvation, that hope that he's given to you. And that cost is Jesus dying for you. That cost is Jesus being whipped on the back, 39 lashes, with stone, with glass, opening up wounds on his back, on his body, beating him until his face was unbearable. That cost was him carrying that cross up down the town, up the mountain, to the mountain of skull. That cost was him bleeding from his head with thorns on his head and being beaten, being mocked, being ridiculed. That cost was him being crucified on the cross, nailed on the cross through his hand, through his feet, and being pierced on the side. That was the cost of you having eternal life instead of having eternal separation from God in the lake of fire where there is pain and suffering meant for the devil and the demons, ruin and destruction. That cost paid for you to have an access to the Heavenly Father, access to the Spirit of the Lord, access to a place where you will know there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more disease or sickness, no more hunger, no more poverty. That cost is what Jesus paid for. He paid for your life. He paid for my time, energy, treasures, my talent. Everything I have in my life is His. And I hope that you can also say, hey, really, I humble myself. I could not have died like that. I could not have suffered like that. And I cannot have raised from the dead. For he, when he died, he was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead victoriously, defeating sin, your sin, defeating death, the death that holds you down, no longer has a hold on you. He defeated your situation, for all that is temporary. He lives in victory, and when you live in Christ, you live in victory. And you live in Jesus in season to season, from Jesus to Jesus, from glory to glory, from breakthrough to breakthrough, from victory to victory, from life to life, from faith to faith. From season to season, you are living in Him. You no longer have to live in from misery to misery, from shame to shame. You no longer have to live from regret to regret, anxiety to anxiety, depression to depression. No longer in darkness to darkness. You live in His light. You are the light of the world. You live in His word, for it is truth. From truth to truth, from life to life. And I love it, how we can live in such good mercy and grace that He has for us. For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Shall not die, shall not have that eternal separation from Him, but have that eternal life in Him and have life to the fullest, life abundant. And when you live your life in Him, you'll see your life transformed and you'll see the fruit of the Spirit being bared in front of you. True love, true hope, true peace within your life. Amen. So, some felt that it would cost them too much, but it cost Jesus giving up His divinity, giving up His humanity for you. He bought you by his blood, you are saved. What denomination? Non-denominational. Read the word of God. Be God-centered in my relationship, in my mind, and in my mission. Some felt that it would require too much sacrifice, and we already talked about the sacrifice of Jesus. There's no greater love than this, but one to lay their life down for another. And that's exactly what Jesus did for each one of us. He sacrificed his divinity, sacrificed his humanity, sacrificed his life for each one of you guys, because he loves you that much. He could have called the legions of angels to stop the commotion, but he did not. He carried through to the very end. Some did not want to bear the reproach of the ministry. They did not want to bear the pain and suffering of other people. They thought it was way too much to handle. Yes, I know, I understand. As a minister, bearing people's pain, why should I carry other people's burdens and pain? Why should I? But I'm willing. Like Helen says, I need healing of depression and back pain. Yeah. And so I pray in Jesus' name that God would heal you of your depression, save you from your anxieties. Depression is means you're living in regret, living in the past, living in shame. But Jesus said, I have saved you. I have wiped away all your sin. You are forgiven. You're living in Christ. And when you live in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. So no longer does depression have a hold on you. No longer does anxiety have a hold on you, because you trust in God. I trust in God. For he will make your path straight. Hannah, I remember you. Praise the Lord. And then some felt that the demands and duties of being leaders and expectations are far too much to bear. Yeah? Some may feel that way. But Jesus, God, he gives you and equips you with everything you need in order to lead. And you just go from one step after the another. Have a heart of dedication. First, show up. Show up to those Bible studies. Show up to church. Be present and say, I will show up to serving the Lord. I will show up to witnessing. I will show up to doing these activities to reach the homeless, reach the lost. I will show up and do what's needed. And when you show up, when you're present, then God will actually grow you from there. And people will see you and see your diligence and see your growth. And they will be like, wow, you are actually leadership material. And they will say, I actually want to, can you please serve to lead this group? And you'll be like, whoa, me? And they'll be like, yeah, you. You have more experience than everyone else. And then you start serving, and you're serving others and teaching them and training them. And then when they are trained and you do that for a while, then people will be like, hey, can you actually oversee the leaders? Because you're doing such a great job. And so that's like climbing the ladder, almost like that. And it's okay to do so, because that's God blessing you and God affirming that you are doing a great job. You see, I didn't start out just straight off as a pastor. I started out just attending, being present, praying for people, being available for God to use me. Then I became men's small group leader. And then from there, I became young adult small group leader. Then from there, I became a pastor. And so, where you are, start where you are. Start by being present. You see, God knows your heart. And people will actually see your heart as well. And so I see the hearts of the young ones who are with me, who are under me. And I'm eager to promote them. I'm eager for them to take my job. I'm eager for them to do what I do. And actually, I can delegate that to them, bless them, and praise them, and allow them to experience more of God's goodness, more of the fruit of the ministry, more of taking ownership of the ministry. Praise the Lord. And the list goes on and on, but the scripture is clear that you are being called to serve as leaders by God. And you must not reject His calling. You must not have to be constrained or forced to do God's will, because you are willingly there to minister, to feed the flock, to share His glory. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." My Father who is in heaven, those who follow His will enter into heaven. He's calling you to follow in His will, in His promises, in His duties and desires for you. Don't run away from Him. Jonah tried to run away from God's call to go to Nineveh, and he ran away the opposite direction. And then there came a big storm that almost capsized that ship. And then he knew that it was God who said, who was actually causing that to happen. So he said, "Throw me overboard." And then a whale swallowed him. And then I think 3 days later, he spit out and went to Nineveh. He ministered to them. And then there was a great revival there. Nineveh was a wicked nation, which was a wicked city. But when he went there, one righteous man went to the wicked nation as God has called them, him. It changed that city. There was a revival in the city. And I want to see a revival in my city, in your city as well. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50 says, "For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother, my sister, my mother." Matthew chapter 25, verse 22, verse 23. "And also, the one who received 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 talents, 2 more talents. The master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Wow, this is great. So, you guys have been given talents. It could be your gifts. And you use that gift to multiply that gift, to bring more people into the presence of God. Or He's given you treasure, that money, or giving you time. And you use that in order to bring people into the presence of God. We have different ways of serving the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, be faithful with little. He says, "You are faithful with little. I will give you more. You're faithful being present. I'll give you more, make you a leader. You're being faithful, being a leader. I'll give you more and be a leader of leaders." Amen. And then John chapter 4, verse 34, it says, "Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work.'" He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him, of God, who sent me and finish His work." You see, God has prophesied through the prophets in the Old Testament of the coming Messiah, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus came to fulfill those prophecies and to do the will of the Father, to do not his own will, but the Father's will. And so, yeah, we are talking about God's will. And he's coming soon. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, I'm going to answer questions at the end. I know you want to have answered questions now, but we answer it at the end. So as leaders, you must take oversight over the flock, not for personal or profit or gain, but of ready mind. And the Greek says that no person is to enter into the ministry for their own sake, for their own gain, for their own dirty advantage. No person shall ever enter into ministry as means of their own greed. Instead, you should do it because God has called you to do so, because you're obedient to God. Amen. And then the second part in verse 5 to 7, it talks about your duties as believers. Your duties as believers, which is just as important. It says, I'll first read the verses and then I'll read the points and then you're going to want to listen. What is your duties as believers? Did you know that you have duties as believers? Did you know? Well, let's read the passage. You younger men and women, likewise, be subject to your leaders, and all that of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time. Cast your cares and your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Hello, Ivan. Humble yourself. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself. So number one, submit to the elders. Submit to the leaders. Now, I'm not sure how you submit to me, but you submit to Jesus. You follow after him. You walk in his ways. You be humble. It says to submit to one another. And I don't think this is saying being slaves to one another. Be clothed with humility. But instead you serve one another. You love one another. Just like a husband and wife, they submit to each other. And they choose to love one another. Love is not a feeling. It is a choice. True love is a choice. And that choice is what Jesus did for us. If it is feeling, then people get confused and people follow their hearts and not God's heart. And they have that feeling that fades away. Feelings change. But choices is a commitment. So be submitted to one another. Be clothed with humility. And then humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, because God is to be feared, because the day of exaltation is coming, and because God cares for you and cares about all your anxieties. Wherever you're from, wherever you are at, whatever life stage you're at, whatever pain and suffering you're at, God knows, and he cares for you. And he wants to heal you. He wants to protect you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to lead you. He wants to give you this heart of humility. So someone asks, how do you humble yourself? The opposite of humility is pride. And pride is elevating yourself above others, being boastful, being haughty. And pride will lead to people's downfall. For God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble, humility, is actually acknowledging that you need help, that you need a savior, that you cannot do this on your own. So we're always going to be humble when we know that we need God's help in order to give me the words to speak when I cannot do it on my own. Give me the strength to carry forth, to persevere through these trials, tribulations, challenges that's way too hard for us. Give me the ability to continue going forward. Because God, he's El Shaddai, God Almighty, God of more than enough. He's God who's all powerful, God who's all knowing, all wisdom, all knowledge. He's God who's all ever present, and God over all. And if you tap into the Spirit of the Lord God who lives in you, you will be empowered. You must be humble enough to receive the gift of salvation. Humble enough to receive Jesus into your heart. Humble enough to say, yes, Lord, I need each one of you guys. I need you in my life. So we rely not on our own strength, but on God's strength, God's guidance. We may have our own plans. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but God's plan will prevail. So yeah, you say, I help ask for his help all the time. I do ask for God's help all the time. I do. And that's exactly what I do. So we praise God for that. Very good. So humility is to submit to God first. And then you got to submit to leaders who are actually followers of Christ. Humility shows you are obeying, you're following, you're honoring, you're subjected to, you're acknowledging him as your Lord and Savior. It's not just about asking for help, but humility is knowing that he is your Lord, your Master, your Savior. And he is the one that is going to bring you into a better place. So we praise God that he's giving us a heart of humility, a heart that allows us to build our life upon his firm foundation. Amen. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 16, that you be in subjection. Well, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hello, Andrea. He is his first and last. He is first and last. So humility, to be subject to our leaders, subject to Jesus, to our leaders, to one another. And so subjection takes concentration and effort, takes deliberate decision to subject to someone else. So it's not easy. But when we commit to one another, to building God's church, then we will acknowledge, respect, and honor one another, and not to ridicule, mock each other. So we gotta be clothed with humility. Jesus, he clothed himself with humility. He took the role of a servant. He washed the feet of the disciples, just like he washed your feet, just like he washed your sins away, just like he served you on that cross. John chapter 13, verse 13 to 15. You call me master, teacher, and Lord. You are right, for I am so. If then the Lord and the teacher wash your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of another person, of another. For I gave you the example that you should do as I did for you. Wow, that's so powerful. God said he's gonna resist the proud. He's gonna stand up against all those who look down upon others, all those who feel superior to others, all those who discriminate against others, who are boastful, haughty, prejudiced. God opposed the proud. And all who opposes others, no matter who they are. The word resist is a strong word. It's a picture of an army being set up and arrayed against the enemy. Pride calls out God's army. No wonder, therefore, it goes before destruction. Pride leads to ruin and destruction. So do not live in pride. That's why this month, June, they call it the month of pride, the Pride Month. We know it's headed towards ruin and destruction. It's headed towards somewhere that's no good. And we pray for those who are living a life of pride. We pray for those who are not humbling themselves before the Lord God Almighty. For pride will lead to their downfall. It's going to be a big fall. And because the whole United States of America called this their own month of pride, guess what's happening to the United States of America? It's dying. Dying. I wish there would be a month of family, a month of unity, a month of Jesus, of God. But all we can do is pray. Pray for them. We still love on the people, but we don't love the sin. God loves the people, but not the sin. So the person who walks humbly before God, recognizing and acknowledging the value of others, shall also receive the blessings and the promises of God. And he shall be highly favored and blessed, rewarded beyond all imagination. The humble person will bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So when you are humble, you will bear the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, true peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. In addition, the humble person has the full assurance of being cared for, looked after by God, and that God will work all things out for your good while you are on earth, while you live in humility. Amen. Hello, Lil Deck and Santiago. And in the future, when Christ returns, the humble person will be abundantly rewarded with his glorious crown and privilege of living and reigning with Christ forever. Pride is taught to us with best intentions. However, I learned it comes with consequences. It does. It does. Thank you, Dennis. And so, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. It says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest in your soul. You will find rest in your soul. A lot of people are experiencing unrest. A lot of people are feeling like life ain't just worth it anymore. It just ain't the same anymore. It's just not worth carrying on. But what they really need is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Amen. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3-4, it says, and truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. It says, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. It says, therefore, I am a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in manners worthy of the calling which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Welcome, Cora from Philippines. Praise the Lord. So, to the humble, God's mighty hand means strength and power. To the proud, God's mighty hand means strength and power. To both people, to the humble, God's mighty hand means sovereignty and control. Also to the proud. To the humble, God's mighty hand means salvation and security, care and protection, assurance and confidence. But to the proud, God's mighty hand is warning and fear, anger and wrath, and judgment and condemnation. God's mighty hand provides two different things between the proud and the humble. The right hand of God stands over the world in all strength and power and sovereignty and control. God's hand is to save everyone, even the proud, if he will only humble himself. If he refuses to humble himself, the hand of God stands something entirely different than salvation. It stands as a warning and threat and anger and wrath and judgment and condemnation. And that's why it's so important to humble yourself, for he wants to deliver you, save you, care for you, provide for you, give you assurance and confidence in your life. Amen. So, let me pray for us as we accept Jesus into our hearts. Lord God, I thank you for your love, for your patience, for your goodness, for your mighty hands are upon us as we serve you. Lord God, I know that you long to have a relationship with everyone here. So Lord, I pray that they draw closer to you, commit their life to you, reading your word, praying to you, worshiping you, building your community, oh Lord. Father God, I pray your protection, your goodness, your healing, your mercy come upon them. Come upon me as well, for I'm in need for your healing, for your patience, for your strength, for I'm hurting. I love you, God, because you never let us down. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Dennis Diamond, in agreement. Glory to God. Thank you, Kimberly. So, two questions. What are some signs in your life that you're growing in godly humility? Well, some signs. Number one, YouTube channel is growing. By the grace of God, after 7 months, it's at 750,000 people. Subs. Praise God. Sandy, praise the Lord. God bless you. Shelly, all of you guys, God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Another sign is, God has given me life. He took me from being broken into being healed. He took me from being broke to having everything I need. He took me from being single to being married with a baby coming along in less than 10 days. And he took me from having no job to having a full-time job as a pastor. These are all signs of his goodness, his mercy. These are all testimonies, my story of how he brought me from being isolated to community, out of darkness into light. These are signs, and these are stories. It's a truth, reality. I must not forget it, and that's why I must share it with you as well. Amen. And number two out of two, in which relationships do you still battle pride? In which relationship do you still battle pride? That's a difficult question to answer. Relationship to things? I battle pride in scrolling my life away. Well, my pride. In always getting to the top, no matter what I commit to. Pride. Well, for the most part, I learned to humble myself. Glory to God. And if he can humble me even more, I'll be humbled. I know no matter what, he's my Lord, my Savior. God is so good. So, a letter to God, guys. We're going to be praying for this country, interceding together for this country, Vietnam. The capital city of Vietnam is Hanoi. It's a population of 102.8 million people. The major religion is Buddhist, 52.5% is Buddhist, and Christian population is 9.4%. And Vietnam is one of the last remaining communist nations in the world. In 1986, the government adopted market-oriented principles to boost their failing economy, and they now have become one of the fastest-growing economies in the world. Social problems such as corruption, HIV, AIDS, and regional tensions are still present. While the Constitution officially upholds freedom of religion by law, every religious group must register with the government, and churches are usually denied registration and face persecution. The church is nonetheless growing within registered and unregistered churches. And so, we must pray for Vietnam. Pray for the church to bring light and hope to the social problems Vietnam faces. Pray for God's church to grow despite persecution. We'll pray for Vietnam. Lord God, I thank you for Vietnam. Thank you for allowing us to read your word, to be in your word together, and able to lift up Vietnam to you. This country is 50% Buddhist, 10% Christian. We just pray that the persecution of Christians will be no longer, that you will continue to grow churches within Vietnam, registered and unregistered, that you would bring light and hope to the social problems that Vietnam faces. Lord, we praise God for your church growth despite persecution. We pray that you continue working in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah, God is so good. He is so good, and he's faithful to the very end. And may God bless each one of you guys. Amsterdam, GC, Isosa, all of you guys. May he continue building his life building our life upon his firm foundation. I keep on saying that, building his life. But we must build our life upon his foundation. Is Minnie Cherry, hello and welcome. Shelly Freeman, God bless you. Danielle, God bless you in Jesus' name. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Thank you, Lord, for this word. I love it. I love it. I'm going to be checking out for YouTube. Going to some time of worship. Making some videos because I'm behind on making videos. So, may God bless you. Be with you. May he protect you. Heal you. Give you wisdom, understanding, knowledge. In Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Panda out. God bless you.